Well, good morning, everybody, and praise the Lord. Paul, my dad got me this extension for the mic so I can be all over the place, all over the floor. So, yeah, I know. That's the praise of the Lord. I don't have anything to say, Brad.
Be like ours.
Well, you know, one of the things that the family and I have been studying is in Acts. Okay, and last week we talked about taking our cross daily and following Him. You know, if you don't hate your mother, brother, sister, yeah, in your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. And if you don't take up your cross daily and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple. And you know, as we're reading through Acts, there is one thing that the apostles had going for them, and that was that they forsook everything to follow the Lord. It meant them everything to follow the Lord. And that's a big, you know, highlight for me this past week. And you know, and it's to do the will of God. We lay down our life. We lay down our will to do His will. And what is His will? Love God and love one another. You know, I was reading in Acts, and Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch, and the Jews rejected them. And the Gentiles received that grace. And then later, some of the Jews caused some of the Gentiles to fall off from that. They ended up stoning them. Stone them, as the scripture says, as they were dead, if they were dead. And they were dragged out of the city, and they went about preaching again. And you know, just that whole point of it was worth it to them. It was worth it to them to take up that cross daily, so that the grace that they heard, that they can go preach it to others. And some did receive, because later on, as I was reading it, it shows how they went back and visited the churches in these places that they were rejected in. But it was worth it to them for those that would hear. For those that would hear of the grace of God. And you know, there's two points there. You know, I'm thinking I'm just going to go there. I'm going to go to the Acts, and I'll start. Let's say Acts 13, and I'll start at 42. And this is after they went to the synagogue and they preached a sermon unto them about Jesus Christ. And Him crucified and resurrected again. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. The whole city. That's how much it was manifested. The whole city came to hear the grace of God and how good He is. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So first they went to the Jews. They went to the synagogue to preach this grace. And then they were rejected from that. So they said, well, we're going to go to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable woman and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost that they had that opportunity to go and preach the word of the Lord and to preach how good Jesus Christ was. And they didn't care about the persecution. They counted it joyous to be used of the Lord in this manner, even though they were kicked out and persecuted. And there's two things that goes on here that was an eye-opener. One thing is, how many times has my authority have come to me? Because see, they shook off the dust of their feet against a testimony against them. Okay? You know, I don't want to be in that same boat. And how many of us have authorities or has used somebody above us to tell us the word of the Lord about what's going on with us, and we reject it? And we reject that. And we don't listen to that, and we don't cleave to that. That puts me in the same boat of that testimony being, their dust being shook off against me. That could put me in that same, if I don't cleave to that word of the Lord, and cleave to that grace of God that He has given to me, and cleave unto the advice of the elders from coming down from above. You know, I could be in that same boat, and that's scary. That scares me. So what do we do when we hear the word of the Lord? What do we do when we're confronted with our issues that are yet, that come before the Lord, that keep us from, and we run into that crossroad? Think about this. I don't want that dust being shook on me, against a testimony against me. And we're in that crossroad, we're in that place of decision of what we're going to do. Are we going to choose to follow the Lord? Or are we going to go about our own way and our own righteousness to death and destruction? And that scares me. That scares me. But praise the Lord that I have people above me to love me enough to tell me the truth, that saying, hey, this is becoming before the Lord. This is your idol and you need to shake it off. This is unbelief and this is not belief in the Lord. You need to cast it out. You need to get rid of it. Or it's going to send you down the wrong road. You're heading down the wrong path. Praise the Lord that we have that. Praise the Lord that we have that He's good. And so when we're met with that confrontation, or we're met with that situation, or whatever it is, and we can just throw our hands up and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You. You're good. You died on the cross for me. You love me enough to go to the cross for me at my worst. And you have nothing but a good intentions for me. Your will is for me to abide in You and be with You in eternal life with You in heaven. And I'm going to trust You. And this garbage that I think, this not a piece of bone that I think is good for me, I'm going to let go, because obviously it's not. Because it's been clearly shown to me. And I thank You for Your grace. And I thank You for Your mercy. And I'm going to choose You. I'm going to take that stake. So what if the advice strikes you square in the running lights, or strikes you right in the heart? Especially if it strikes you right in the heart, more than likely that's dead right true. Because it hurts sometimes in the flesh when you see how wrong you are. But see, part of being here on this earth, it's like a boot camp to if we attain that good and faithful, enter in that good and faithful servant, which we hope for, that we may remain there. This place is like a boot camp to get shed of all those idols, all those things that come before the Lord. It is a boot camp for us to take up our cross daily and love God and love one another and be in the position like the apostles were when they were persecuted. They counted it joy so that people would hear of the grace of God that was delivered unto them. But it starts by what the Lord has given you. What does the scripture say? He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. That little bit that the Lord's given you. All of you have something that's been given to you. All of you have some kind of direction or some kind of stewardship. Be a mother, be a father, be a servant, be a child. To obey your parents. All of you have been given something to be faithful in. And if you want to grow in the Lord, then you're going to be faithful in that, in loving God and loving one another. And when these issues come up, and when these weeds out of your heart, when the Lord starts doing that rooting around in your heart, you can say, okay, Lord, take it from me. Because I know I can't enter in with this garbage. I can't enter in with this garbage. And I choose you. So if you want to grow there in the Lord, it is about taking up your cross and follow me. Daily. What does Paul say? I die daily. And all that of you was ever successful in, all the teachings, the Pharisee of Pharisees and all that, he counted as dung compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As dung. So these things that we hold important into our heart, that's just a bunch of garbage, let it go, because it's nothing compared to the excellency of how good and how gracious and how loving our Father in heaven is. So whether it be control, whether it be things, whatever it is that comes between the Lord, throw them away. They're not good for you, and it ain't worth anything. So hold fast unto how good and awesome the Lord is, and how awesome His will is for you. Paul, I'm going to leave it at that.
I am the Frito Panquito. Probably the only one in this room old enough to remember that. We sit here. That's a good word, Philip. Thanks. And we sing, teach me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Are we just singing that, or is that where we're at? Why are we here? It always seems to be coming back to that. And where I come back to is God's not going to take a scalpel and cut your head open and just pour all this stuff in. This stuff, you got to want to get it. You got to want it more than anything else. You got to seek Him first in His righteousness. and let him provide for you, and then you have to take it. You have to be like the kid wanting a candy bar from his daddy. Gotta want it. Gotta want it. Gotta want it. Gotta want it. The thing I come back to, I think we talked about Thursday night, in Romans, Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. This stuff, this grace has been sent to me, I don't get to get and just punch the time clock at the church for 40 years, you know, be at their functions and stuff. I need to choose within myself that this stuff that he's extended to me, I owe it to everybody else. That's why he extended it to me. And he says in, you know, later on in Romans, you know, when he starts talking about the God commended his love to us, and that while we're yet sinners, he yet died for us. While we were enemies of Christ. You know, if you've taken and participated in his grace, let me ask you something. What are you going to do when he gets tired of you not doing the word and he pulls it back off of you?
You're going to get sick for 14 months.
And there's no guarantee in here that you keep trying to string God along. Resist the Holy Spirit, that he's going to keep you covered in that grace. Just because... life's going to look a whole lot different for you. Because that just amounts to rejecting the grace offered to you. And that's not the hope of the calling. You know, and Peter says it in 2 Peter, and Paul refers to it often in the one I'm thinking of is in Ephesians. But Paul's prayer was always that the Lord would give him utterance to extend everything to the people that he served, that he had received and partaken of in the Lord. And let's read in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, that's to whom this is written to. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What else does that sound like? Sounds like Ephesians 3, where he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. Now, there's an issue of who the personal pronouns here are about. But I'm gonna keep going. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the pronouns shift here in this verse, and that's why this is such a great verse. whereby are given unto us, the apostles, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you want to partake of the divine nature? That's what seeking Him and His righteousness, and letting Him do everything, considering yourself, because you can partake in this, a debtor to everybody else out there that doesn't have it. Not glory in how special you are, and how much your life doesn't suck near as bad as them. Right? How much does that attitude, how much is there an attitude of that judgment walking around here in what's called Christendom? If we're going to be different than any of that, then we have to act and walk differently and be doers of the Word. I want to be a partaker of the divine nature. How cool is that? That means that was an expectation that when Paul went out to do that which the Lord wanted him to do, that he counted himself as fully equipped to do it all. And that God was with him. But his ship falls apart. Oh darn. We fall on an island with a whole bunch of barbarians. Don't know anybody. Don't know anything about the outside world. They take him in. They dry him off. Build a fire. Oh damn, he gets spit by a snake. Or whatever that thing was. Viper. I don't know exactly what a viper is, but...
Poisonous one.
Yeah. The barbarians decided he'd been a murderer or something, and he was getting, you know, karma's coming back around. And this guy is, you know, he's doomed, and this is what's happened to him. He shakes the thing off into the fire, keeps on going. Then he decides he's a god. Paul had absolutely no time for that venom. He didn't have any time for it. He was going somewhere. The fact the ship fell apart, he still didn't have time for that, man. He's going somewhere, right? This is the kind of God we serve. He doesn't just do that for Paul. He does that for anybody that expects him to show up. Because you're doing what he wants you to do. That's what seeking Him first and His righteousness, that's what that gives you. That's all these other things, they're going to be added unto you according to that which you're willing to do for Him. And He loved you enough that He died for you while you were still His enemy. I can't sit in here, I can't make anybody say, wow, you know, that's great, and then give them the diligence to learn His ways. This is not something that just gets poured in your head. This is an experience that you get by spending time with Him. Time in His Word. Time with those over you. Studying to show yourself approved. Yes, it takes work. But look at the rewards. Not just in the kingdom to come, but in the present age. I mean, how cool is all that? And it's like Phil was talking about, the attitude. Paul says, let this mind be also in you. Right? I mean, He doesn't have anything that God can't give you. How much do you want it? You'll get it to the degree you want it. The degree you want it is how much time you're going to spend seeking Him. Letting Him be the measurer. Let Him be the deconstructor and the rebuilder. There's a lot of stuff that needed to be broken down and then rebuilt in my life. Praise God. He's still doing it. I needed it. But he's good. This stuff doesn't exist to give him justification for doing nasty stuff to people. This is about how good he is when he's rebuilding you. You need the rebuilding. You got a wall around your heart that rejects grace and wants to stay cold and dead. He has to break through that wall. I prayed and prayed and prayed for years and years and years, and the deconstruction process took a long time. But he shows up and he's good. And when you think you're knocking on death's door a couple of times, you start helping him knock down that wall. Because at that point you have some question as to where you think you're going to stand with him when it comes time to stand. And I want to be able to stand with him. And I want to hear, enter in my good and faithful servant. Because I want to please him. I am a debtor to both the wise and the unwise. To the Greeks and the barbarians. To everybody out there. To the dumbest box of rocks. And the ones that think themselves to be smarter. And when, as long as I have that mindset, he's going to show up for me. He's good. Man, let's develop that mindset. Spend the time on your knees, seeking his mind, asking him to teach him your way, teach you his ways. He wants to do that. Next verse. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want all that. I want to be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know everything that he has for me to know. So I can owe it to somebody and give it to them freely. Because it was given to me. 1 Corinthians, he says, what do you have to boast about? Everything you got, we were given. Right? Everything I got, I was given. And I owe Jesus Christ to everybody else. Everybody in this room, and everybody everywhere else. And I'm not doing my job if I don't visit you with that. And y'all seek us out if you have questions, you need some guidance. We're here as resources for you. Amen. That you may know him and the power of his resurrection. And how this is supposed to look as it's unfolding in your life. Don't wait until the grace is pulled off. And you get really exposed, a cloud moves out of the way and you get exposed for exactly who you really are. It's going to stink. It really is. Why are you here? That's one of those things you just have to, you have to confront every day. Why are you here? If it's not to be partakers of divine nature and all that that entails, how good is that? It's available to us. And, you know, for me, the humbling thing is all the many things that will come across my field of vision that will derail me, at least momentarily. And Paul just keeps on, the boats he's on falling apart. He's got to swim to land. He gets bit by a viper, shakes it off, keeps on going. Listen, I'm going to Rome. I think that's where he was going. I got an appointment in Rome.
Lord needs me somewhere. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna get there.
Like Jesus said, hey, we're going to the other side. They climb in the boat, and then the disciples all get scared. Wait a minute, the guy just spoke the universe into existence, just said we're going to the other side. Where do you think we're going?
To the other side.
We're going to the other side. Oh, ye of little faith. Box of rocks. We're going to the other side. You know, for the other side for us is life and hope. And being doers of the word and not only hearers.